We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to another episode of New Orleans Football presented by PJ's Coffee. We're here at our new studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard, right next door to Matt Bowers, the best car dealer in the whole entire galaxy. And we're going to get into a lot of stuff to going on with the Saints. The OC search is still going. Things are starting to heat up a little bit. You got some second interviews happening. We got the Mike Thomas comments to break down. We got the Senior Bowl. I'm Nick Unruh. I'm here with Mike Triplett. Mike, what do you think of Mike Thomas last night? Just him kind of letting it air out a little
he's
bit.
He's hinted at some of those things. We'll talk obviously a lot more about that. He's hinted at a lot of those things. It felt like he just took the filter off yesterday, which will be one of the questions we talk about today. But it feels like if he's taking that filter off, he's you know, even further separating himself from this team. So a year ago, we thought he was going to be gone. This year, I kind of feel even more like maybe there's going to be a split in the future, but that doesn't mean we don't pay attention to what he says.
We also pay attention when he says that he's a New Orleans.football supporter. So if you aren't signed up for our website yet, make sure you do that. Use the code NOF, 20% off your first payment. Get all of our news analysis, our breakdowns, and everything else. And before we do that, just, you know, if you need a new car, check out Matt Bowers. He is the best car dealer that you can find, best prices, best customer care. That's my guy. That's where I buy all my cars. He'll take care of you and tell him we sent you. All right, let's hit these ads. The New Orleans.football show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86 proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show. All right, let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers is excited to announce the opening of their new engagement salon. They have a great selection of rings, so if you're planning on getting engaged with someone, make sure you go check them out. They got prices in every single range. You can get in, get what you need. They'll make something for you. Anything you need, Friend & Company can do it for you. They have a wide selection there already to choose from. And while you're there, check out their Florida Lee earring and necklace. They are specially priced for our NOF audience. And again, make sure you tell them we sent you if you go in there to get one of them. All right. Is this the week the Saints finally hire their offensive coordinator? We're heading into Senior Bowl week in Mobile on Tuesday, which is not only a showcase for some of the NFL's top draft prospects, but a place where a lot of NFL business gets done. We've seen Jeff Ireland get hired there. I believe Ryan Nielsen
Dennis
got
Allen.
Hired there. Dennis Allen.
The second time.
The whole interview process played through there. So it's definitely a place where things get done. The whole league's there. It's an important time of the year on the NFL calendar. So do we think this is the week that they finally make that deal? And secondly, Let's talk a little bit about the three candidates we haven't spent much time on so far, the ones that aren't part of the McVay Shanahan disciples. Texans quarterback Gerard Johnson had his second interview over the weekend. Former Raiders Bucks coach John Gruden is the name that's kind of been floated around out there a little bit. And Ronald Curry is also part of the mix, the Saints quarterback's coach. We haven't really discussed any of these candidates. Obviously, Kubiak's still in there. Greasy's still in there. There's a few others.
Brian Johnson is supposed to get his first interview. Was supposed to get his first interview today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, there's a handful of other people in there, but these three specifically, we have not talked about a whole lot. Just kind of, what are your thoughts on where things stand? Yeah, and those candidates.
A couple of things. We talked about the Shanahan and McVay disciples because they're new and different and exciting. And that's what the Saints started their search with. It feels like they're going to go. I almost feel like these three names could be considered. I don't know if I want to say the three front runners, but definitely three front runners, especially now that Zach Robinson's out of the mix. Shane Waldron's out of the mix. Does it get them done this week? I would say yes. That would be my prediction, if not for a couple complications. Clint Kubiak and Brian Greasy's team just made it to the Super Bowl yesterday. And I think they have to be considered among the front runners. I think it would be foolish of the Saints not to wait a couple more weeks if that's what it takes to land those guys, if they like them enough. Maybe they could agree to it. I have Googled and I have asked people who cover these teams, and I just can't remember. Do they announce these? Do they come to these agreements and then keep it secret? I definitely don't remember like a quarterback's coach leaving his team the week of the Super Bowl to go to his new team. Happens in college, but so I think if it's one of those guys, we don't hear about it for 2 weeks. Gerard Johnson, who we're going to talk a little bit more about with the Texans, their offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick is still in play for the Washington and Seattle jobs. I think that's going to go into high speed now that some of the guys like Ben Johnson in Detroit is now available. Mike McDonald, Baltimore, is now available. So I think that'll speed some things up. But there's some reasons why some of these top candidates, I don't think, are ready to say yes yet. So for that reason, I guess maybe I don't think it'll happen this week.
Yeah, I mean, look, a couple things. I don't think it's going to be John Gruden. I just don't. I feel like they're going to go another direction with it. Just kind of my gut feeling. I just don't think that they go that way. I think it's going to. I think they specifically want something else. And if they didn't want something else, I don't think that they'd be interviewing as many people coming from the same DNA. It would be very surprising to me. Like if it just, it would be almost nonsensical to kind of run this process, kind of have like this blueprint of what you want and then being like, you know what, that was all a waste of time. Like we're going over here with it. I feel like they would have just interviewed a couple of people and went straight to it. That just, if it's a Gruden move, it feels like, you know, it's a Gruden move. And like the dog and pony show doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Real quick,
to me.
Do you feel the same way about Ronald Curry?
I feel like they want to go to a whole new system. I mean, it just feels like that's like if it was Ronald Curry, I feel like maybe you bring in a couple people and then you kind of do the comparison and it's like, all right, like Curry's the guy. We knew Curry was the guy. We checked him against Zach Robinson. We checked him against Clint Kubiak. We checked him against, you know, whoever, and this is the guy, you know? So I feel like if those were the decisions, that's the way that you would go. I feel like if it ends up Gruden, I feel like they got stuck and they had to go to Gruden because they didn't have anywhere else to go. That's how it kind of feels like to me. But I just don't think that's something that's probably going to happen. So I don't necessarily see it going that way. But like you said, if it's one of these other guys, it might take a little bit of time. I believe, can you do second interviews? Because I know with head coaches, if you already did one, you can do
you
your
can.
Second interview
You can do
this
second
week.
Interviews this week. Yeah. I think Kubiak and Greasy are available to interview this week. It's the accepting part that I'm not sure. Like, if the Saints are going to hire Brian Greasy or Clint Kubiak, would they
I feel like those, I've seen those interviews
wait,
happen before.
I know. I would they wait to accept? Would they wait to offer? Would they secretly agree to it and then say, we'll announce it Monday after the Super Bowl?
Probably like, so.
I don't know for sure how that complicates the timetable, but to me, when you look at what's left on the list, those two guys are worth waiting for me.
I think it's very easy to answer that question too. Like, say you're Kubiak, you just say, I'm not accepting this job until next Monday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so there's not even a leak. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you just kind of say it like that. So it's not like, oh, he's accepting it. Like, you can specifically, you know,
yeah.
The thing with the Saints is I feel like you don't have to worry about things leaking if you don't want it to leak. If you don't tell anybody else, like, it's not going to leak. It's a pretty tight ship, and it's tough to get information out of there sometimes. So if they don't want anyone to know, I feel like that's something that's definitely possible. Like you said, I can't remember a time, though, where somebody upstaged a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, I know coordinators have accepted, like, head coach jobs I mean, Gannon, the whole Gannon thing last year, I think we all knew he was leaving before the season. So it does kind of happen sometimes, and it becomes a bit of a problem.
Day after, like, two of their coordinators? And, like, oh, by the way.
And everyone knew, and they kind of felt like he botched, like, the game or whatever for them.
True.
So it definitely is something that does happen at times. But, yeah, I just kind of feel like it's going another draft. I feel like Gerard Johnson's still a strong candidate.
Yep.
It's someone that I think that was – I mean, we were talking about him for a while. Like, it seems like he's ready
for his shot.
He was the
first guy you suggested as an outside candidate, even before any of these guys. So I think he's very realistic. I know they were eager to consider him when they made that decision. Let's zip through these guys real quick, and then we'll talk a little bit more about timetable. But I don't know. I've never known what to think about Gruden. I've never known, would they have hired Gruden all along if he was willing to accept it? And with Gruden, is it, well, I'm not going to be an OC, but I'll be a consultant, and what would that look like? I don't know. Would Ronald Curry getting the job and Gruden being a consultant be a relationship? I would not look
forward to
that. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
So I agree. If you knew all along it was Gruden, you wouldn't bother with this. Curry, look, I don't want to say a bad word about Curry because I think he's going to have a really good career. I think he could, you know, have an Aaron Glenn type of career. I think he's a really good coach who's done everything the right way. You know who his first boss was who brought him to the NFL? Was Jim Harbaugh. He was on that staff in San Francisco. He brought him out of, like, a small college, and he made him, like, a quality control coach there. And then he was on that staff. He came to the Saints. He's been with the Saints for a long time. And For people who aren't aware of Ronald Curry's backstory, it's one of my favorite stories that I ever did covering this team, was polling everyone on the team to see if they'd heard of Ronald Curry. And, like, of course, the old guys, like Drew Brees, knew. Yeah, he was, like, one of the most famous high school athletes of all time, a three-time state champion quarterback. And it was, like, him, Allen Iverson, and Michael Vick in Virginia at the same time. And then he went to North Carolina, and he was the point guard and the quarterback at North Carolina at the same time. It's, like, one of the all-time great athletes, became a receiver for the Raiders. And even after all that, he worked his way up from quality control coach to coach. I think it's a great story. He would just not represent enough change for, I think this team needs it so bad that I think he could do a good job. But I think we would like to see the change. And then that leaves us with Gerard Johnson. And he's a curious case because we've talked so much about these guys who are, Zach Robinson's been under McVay for years. This guy's learned under Kyle Shanahan for years. Gerard Johnson, really, I mean, he started as, like, a quality control assistant, an internship. He's really got 3 full years now as a full-time assistant coach in the league. The first one under Frank Reich in Indianapolis. The second one under Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, and now the third one under Bobby Slowick in Houston. He considers himself a teacher. He's got an incredible relationship with C.J. Stroud. I think that's why so many teams want to talk to him, the former quarterback and a quarterback mentor. But is that you think that solves the give us a brand new offense, design, innovative? You think there's enough on this resume to feel really confident in him being the guy?
I mean, it'd be a new offense for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely bringing a new – is there enough on there to be – no, but I think that's the thing with all these people that haven't called plays. Like, it's impossible to actually judge them on anything. Like, it's impossible to judge Ronald Curry really on anything. It's impossible to – like, it's just – you got to kind of look at who people have been around, what they've been exposed to, and hope that it works. Like, that's the thing. The thing that people – most people get these hires wrong. Like, there's a reason that there's 15 openings every year, and it's like 4 or 5 people get hired, and then there's 10. Like, it's because people get them wrong, and there's so much turnover on these jobs.
The second year in a row, there's like 16 of these available.
It's a normal thing at this point. Look, the other thing that I think everybody needs to realize, like, there are these talking points about, like, why haven't they hired someone
so
quick?
That's what I was going to get to.
Why haven't they, you know, why is it still going on and on? Like, here's the thing. Like, the best job's filled, and there's still 12 open, I believe. It's tier two now. Saints were in a tier one job. Like, so that wasn't going to happen. But, you know, we were talking about this before. Like, you can't sit here and say, why haven't they hired anyone yet? They should have hired someone already. And then in the next breath say, nobody wants the job. Yeah. It's a dumpster fire.
So they could have gotten Zach Robinson, but they didn't ask him soon enough. Is that the idea here? I mean, Which is it?
Yeah. It can't be both things. But, like, the thing is that most of these jobs, again, and we said this on the last show, they're open because there is something wrong. It's You know, someone tweeted
tier
me today,
two is about 12 teams.
Someone tweeted at me today, like, how are they going to get a top an offensive coordinator who would accept a job? They don't have a top quarterback in the team, only won 9 games. Well, that's why the job's open.
Yeah.
Because if they won 12 games and they had a top quarterback, the job would be open because someone became a head coach, or it just never opens because everything went right. These jobs open up because things went wrong.
That
and
did
they
happen
don't have
in Cincinnati, and Cincinnati promoted quarterbacks coach Dan Pitcher. That wasn't somebody saying, I refuse to go work for the Saints. That's what, and then Zach Robinson went to coach with his close friend Raheem Morris, who it was like not even a secret that if Raheem Morris got hired as a head coach, he was going to bring Zach Robinson with him. So Shane Waldron took what everybody thought was maybe one of the most coveted jobs because they have the number one pick in the draft in Chicago. You're right. I don't disagree with the notion that the Saints, there are some flaws in this job.
No,
you're not going to get the top candidate.
No doubt.
But to say that the proof that this is taking so long means everyone's rejecting them. No, that those two don't go, or that they should have acted sooner. And if they acted sooner, they could have gotten Robinson or Waldron. That just doesn't apply. And actually, if they take their time, some things might shake out. There's still staffs. The Washington staff, I guess, completely hasn't been let go because they haven't hired their guy. Maybe Eric Bieniemy is not going to be kept by Ben Johnson. And now Eric Bieniemy enters the mix, or, I think that is still a possibility with some guys who are going to become candidates later in the process, depending on other jobs. So, and I'm not sure that the Saints would consider that, but I just don't think they've missed out on all of the contenders.
Would you be super juiced about Eric Bieniemy?
I would not be.
Yeah. I mean, last year, like it didn't blow the doors off, but I mean, yeah, he's a name. He's someone that's been around. But like, look, the thing you were saying about like flawed teams, Saints. Yeah, absolutely flawed. Nobody's trying to say this is a perfect job. Like there are a lot of issues with the things they got to figure out. But guess what? The Steelers are flawed. The Raiders are flawed. Carolina's flawed. The Falcons are flawed in their own way. Like if they don't get a quarterback, they're super flawed. So we'll see what happens with Zach Robinson. Patriots are flawed. Titans are flawed. Commanders are flawed. Like Cleveland's flawed. Every team is flawed at this point that has an opening. So like it's not. But like one, my last point on the fan talking points, the other one that drives me crazy is they're like, well, everyone's going to get fired. But then at the same time, they're pissed off that like no one's been fired and that they don't make rash decisions. So it's kind of like, again, like either it's a stable situation or it's unstable. Yeah. Like that's the thing. But like if you're a good OC, you're going to stabilize it. And if you aren't confident enough to do it, you're probably the wrong person to get that job. So, all right. Anyways, let's move on to the next one. We're moving on to the moment of the day presented by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. We are going to be out at full force at the Senior Bowl. Coverage starts on Tuesday. What are you expecting the Saints to accomplish there this week, both draft-related and non-draft-related?
Yeah, I think some of these interviews might take place in Mobile. Second interviews might take place in Mobile. I mean, if you're a candidate like Brian Johnson, I assume the reason that they scheduled it on Monday is he might be talking to three teams. They might have gotten to Mobile already today and done that. I think you'll see that with some of these guys. You know, Gerard Johnson might be there having lunch and dinner with some of these teams that are interviewing him and other candidates like that. So I think that'll be a big one. As you wrote today, they still need to hire a receivers coach as well. The offensive coordinator might have some input in that. But that's another thing. They do these interviews. The other thing they do is the Saints especially. A lot of teams bring their whole staff to the Senior Bowl, but the Saints especially do because it's so close, it's easier for them all to go there. They will have a lot of their player evaluation meetings. Like they will get together in the hotel rooms at night and still be like reviewing the pro rosters from this last season. They're going to have to replace Cody Rager in their front office, who, you know, had become Jeff Ireland's right-hand man. So this is like kind of quiet compared to the scouting combine, but it's basically an NFL convention that takes place in Mobile every year.
Yeah. Look, and it's going to be a lot of good scout. Like it's kind of the first time of the year where the pro staff gets involved and they start looking at prospects. And that's kind of an important part of ranking the board. Up to this point, it's scouts going out and doing, you know, kind of the legwork, initializing the initial reports, and then the position coaches kind of get involved. The pro scouting department starts to get more involved. They do a lot of the grading. That's kind of where the ranking of everything comes in. That's where they start to see who's the prototypes, who's not, who fits their system. They start tailoring things to it. And this is a lot of them's first exposure. This is probably the first time Dennis Allen's going to lay eyes on a lot of college prospects because he's been caught up on the season. So, so that's a lot of stuff that'll probably be going on this week. I mean, there's a handful of really interesting guys here too, and we'll kind of go through them a little bit one by one. I'm not going to be able to say dude's name. You sent me his pronunciation earlier.
Latu.
Latu. defensive end, UCLA. This is one guy that I kind of have circled because it's out of position in need. And we've kind of talked about them needing to go out and drafting, or I'm sorry, signing someone in free agency to kind of fill the void at pass rusher. They only had, what, 5 sacks last year. So
he's big enough, too.
I'm sorry. How many? They were
fourth from the bottom.
Fourth from the bottom. Yeah. Fourth from the bottom in sacks. But, you know, Latu.
And this guy's, what, 23 over the last 2 years? Yeah. And he's big enough. He's big enough, too.
He probably, if he has, I think he's someone that's probably going to end up being picked before the Saints go, especially if he has clean health, all that stuff checks out. I think he's going to probably rise through this process a little bit. Edge rushers tend to do that. You see guys, edge rushers and quarterbacks that are kind of like 15 now are going to end up top 10. Like, that's just kind of how it always goes. And if he has a good week this week, I think that probably just definitely shoots way up the board. 21 and a half tackles for a loss last year, 13 sacks. His tape is great. Depending on how many quarterbacks go early, I mean, I think that he's probably going to end up in the top 10. But I think definitely someone of a high intrigue for the Saints. And if we're talking top 10, always possible they end up there at 14. And then,
Oh, do I have to do it? Talisa Fuaga. Another guy who, he's a right tackle now. He's been a right tackle. He projects as a right tackle, big physical guy. So I wonder, I mean, with the draft, you can project 3 years out. They're confident that Ryan Ramczyk's going to be a part of their team. I wouldn't mind bringing in a big physical right tackle type and then figuring out the rest. But he's a guy who right now is kind of projected second or third among the offensive tackle group. A big week here could move him into the top two. I think the guy from Notre Dame is probably expected to be number one. There's another one here. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma is another guy kind of vying to be. He's more of an athletic left tackle type. But two things I thought were really interesting from a couple draft analysts. Matt Miller from he works with ESPN now. He said that this is one of the better all-around Senior Bowls he's seen. Maybe 10 first-round picks will be there, which is rare. Last year, there were only two. And he said the depth at OT and edge rusher, which is where the depth is. Not necessarily top-heavy, but a lot of first, second, third rounds, which is great. And one thing I thought was really interesting, Mel Kiper put out his big board, and a lot of people are putting them out. These things are going to change. But it's the top six or the top seven are all quarterbacks and pass catchers. It's such a big quarterback draft. Such a big receiver draft. But once he went through his top 24, it was 8 offensive linemen in his top 24, only 6 defensive players. I've been saying, just based on the Saints' need, this would be a good year to take an offensive lineman in round one. The fact that someone like Mel Kiper has 8 offensive linemen in his top 24, gosh, it really feels like getting an offensive lineman in the draft is sort of the chalk pick for the Saints.
So exciting. Yeah, exactly. An exciting pick. Yeah, and then there's a couple quarterbacks here that I think are definitely worth keeping an eye on. Michael Penix Jr. From Washington, Bo Nix from the Ducks. I always say the name of that state wrong. It's going to be.
Let me hear you say it.
We ain't doing it. We are not doing it. It's one of the words I just can't say right. Penix, I think, is a good player. I mean, that's one, if the Saints take him, it's going to be so driven by recency bias because the last exposure to him wasn't great. The game before it, everybody was ready to draft him. I think Washington just got severely outcoached in that game. But if you watch him, man, he's a good pocket passer, really smart, processes the field well. You can't really blitz him because he's so smart. He kind of sees where it's coming from. Really good at making tight window throws. I mean, the numbers there are pretty solid. You know, he's somebody that I think has a lot more upside than Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix is probably like a day two pick to me when you kind of watch him. I don't necessarily think that he's going to be a superstar pro. He could, but I think your odds of hitting it are better with Penix. But, I mean, it's pedigree and it's a crapshoot. But I think if I had to take one of these guys and I'm the Saints, I feel like you're closer to getting there with Penix, and I feel like you got a lot more upside with him than you do with Nix.
Elite uniforms on this graphic, both those schools. I like it. I agree. Penix would be more exciting. I mean, it's the medical history that scares you on Penix, but he's done a lot to answer that in recent years, obviously, with this incredible season he just had. You know, Spencer Rattler from South Carolina will also be here. He could also be a day two pick at quarterback. And Michael Pratt from Tulane is not just a local interest guy. I think he's going to get drafted, and if he impresses enough, he could get drafted, you know, early day three. I don't know exactly where he's going to end up, but that's more like real quarterbacks who are really going to make NFL teams at the Senior Bowl than we always see. as well. So just give me your gut. How seriously should we be looking at quarterbacks for this? For if you're the Saints, especially since we talked about last week, you only have two picks guaranteed right now, unless you make moves in like the first four rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's on the table, but I mean, my gut says no. Yours?
Yeah, my gut says no because they don't have the volume.
And but, it's just, I think that they're just so committed to trying to make it work with Derek.
Yeah.
I really think they are. I mean, if the opportunity is there, you can't roll it out. I hope they wouldn't be so committed to him that they wouldn't do it. But
right.
my gut says no, but I'm going to pay attention because I have to. Yep. And it seems smart to take one.
And they will. And they will. They are not going to go to the senior bowl and be like, we don't have to watch the quarterbacks. They're I mean, they wouldn't anyway. No team will. All 32 teams are going to study. But the Saints are well aware that they've just spent 3 years, like their entire mission has been, can we please find a quarterback? And they've gone through so many options that having another one, a developmental one, that even if he doesn't end up starting for you, is just not a bad idea. And you need to look no further to the Green Bay Packers and think every NFL team is going to be like, hey, even if we don't have a plan for this guy for 4 years, it's still a good idea to have one of our own.
Yeah. All right, we're about to hit these ads, but before we do, a little bit of NOF news. Brooke decided to move on to pursue other opportunities in her career. Incredibly talented person. Can't say enough about how she helped elevate our video department. We wish her all the best. The show's definitely going to be a little bit different. Me and Mike are still going to be here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And as far as replacing that role, I don't know. We're going to look. We're going to see if the right opportunity comes along. We're open to it, but it's not something we're going to rush to do. We want to make sure if we hire somebody else, it's absolutely the right person, the right chemistry, the right fit. So we're going to have our eyes open for that. But yeah, a little bit different, but we're going to keep bringing it to you every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. All right, let's hit these ads.
It's carnival time at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Our gumbo combos are back. Enjoy our hot gumbo, fries, and your choice of shrimp, catfish, softshell crab, or frog legs starting at $9.99 at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience. All right, welcome back to our new studio. Let's get to our money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. For the second straight year, it would actually help the Saints cap situation if they re-signed Michael Thomas. But are they actually going to be willing to do that? I mean, the social media posts kind of make it feel like this is coming up to an end. He's definitely upset with Derek Carr. Felt like he got thrown a pass that got him injured. Just does not seem to be in a spot where he's loving the fit here right now. And I can't say I blame him. I feel like it kind of did not play to his strengths. There are a lot of times when you go through the film where he was open, he wasn't getting the ball. There were games where he would get the ball early in the first quarter and then disappear from the game plan. It just kind of felt like the whole thing just didn't work for him, with him, all that stuff last year. So what do we think happens with Thomas? And then the second thing before we get to that, if the Saints do let him go, just so that we're having this conversation in the right context, if the Saints let him go, they still have to count for $20.4 million in dead money over the next 2 years. They arrange his contract so they can designate him a June 1st cut, which would count as a cap charge of $12.4 million until June 1st. And then his cap charge would lower to $11.2 million for the rest of the 24 season, with a charge of $9.2 million in 2025. Again, if you get ahead of that and you add years to it, you can take care of it and kind of push that charge back, save them, and have a pass-catching guy that, you know, can make plays over the middle, be a big-body receiver.
Yeah. I mean, we thought they were obviously splitting up last year, and they came back, and it helped their cap, and they had a receiver, and we were very excited about how good he looked right before the start of the season. What was the game where he had seven catches in the first half, and it felt like there's something there, but Man, I mean, how do you come back from this? I mean, we knew he was like sending veiled criticism of playing with Derek Carr, but he said, if I don't get set up by a bad ball, I probably would have had a light little 1K last year. I mean, he's blaming Derek Carr's throw for his injury, and he didn't like back down from that when people were asking follow-up questions. I mean, it really feels like he's ready for a change of scenery.
Look,
and
look, to be fair, like there were a handful of guys that got hurt throwing into hits.
I know.
I mean, he definitely got thrown into a hit. Like, it's just,
and
it's the truth.
We talked about it all year. Like, I hate that everybody says Michael Thomas just catches slants. He can do a lot. It's a dangerous weapon. It was not a strength of Derek Carr's. The timing on his slants with Thomas, the timing on his slants with Olave, the timing on his slants with Shaheed, it was a work in progress all year long. Derek Carr throws a really good deep ball. Derek Carr does a lot of really good things. We saw a lot of it down the stretch, but him and Michael Thomas on the field never seemed to, it just didn't feel like the best usage of him. If Michael Thomas is a free agent and he wants to resurrect his career and show that he's still got it and go, I mean, Kansas City is the obvious place that you think of right away. That's the one thing Pat Mahomes doesn't have. Detroit, the way they're playing. I mean, so many options. Who wouldn't want that as a part of their offense? I could see them finally moving on from each other, and I'd be pretty surprised if that doesn't happen, even though it would be a financial hit.
Yeah, and if he does go, I think getting that type of receiver is a massive need.
Yeah.
I think they got to get someone that can make catches in traffic, make plays after the catch, be a security blanket in that area of the field. It's a huge need for the team. It's something without Mike, they don't have it. Like, they don't have that type of player. I don't think they had the consistency from their tight ends for that to be a thing either. So I think it's something that you have to go out and you have to do immediately. I think it is a big, huge, massive need for this team if he goes.
I agree that you're one pass catcher short without him, but he wasn't necessarily a huge yards after the catch guy, not the way they used him.
No, he wasn't, but they need that. Like, if you're going out,
does it have to be,
getting a guy, like,
are those the same thing? Does it have to be? Because I keep mentioning the name Hunter Renfrow. You mentioned the other day they haven't had a yards after catch guy since Willie Snead. One of the best ever to do it here was Lance Moore. Can it be that type of guy that this offense is missing?
No, I think they need a big body receiver that can make plays in traffic over the middle of the field that can be there, even though that's not necessarily Carr's biggest, greatest strength, like hitting those passes. You need that type of player. And if you're getting that type of player, package it together and get somebody that can make plays after the catch too. Like, those players do. They exist all over. You need a physical presence. So, like, Renfrow can get open and create separation, but, like, I think you need somebody that's open because they are big. Like, they're just always open because you are a big dude. And, you know, that's something that just makes life easier. Like, you have to go out and do it. You know, if they want to go get, like, Bowers, you know, the tight end from Georgia, draft him. Like, sure, he could be that guy. Like, it doesn't have to be a receiver necessarily, but you need that type of
tight end would be where I would love to have that. Like, and I actually, I think there's so much meat left on the bone with Juwan Johnson and Foster Moreau, who was, like, one of Derek Carr's favorite red zone targets in Oakland, Las Vegas, until he just was barely part of the offense this year. But I mean, I don't know if you have two openings. If they sign Hunter Renfrow, you draft a big body, or Renfrow doesn't solve any problems here. Like, I just don't know if you need, I don't know if you still need both, because I like what they have so much, but there's no question they're missing at least one of the two in my mind.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. All right. So moving on to our last thing, Martin's question of the day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's so much more than just wine. Question came in, is it too soon to label Isaiah Foskey as a bat pick? Answer, yes. It didn't start out great. Three pressures on 50 pass rush snaps this year, injured the whole season. Was based on the pedigree, you thought he was going to be able to come in and maybe make some plays right away because he came from a big school, had a lot of college production. Kind of knew he was raw and that he was limited in some things, but I thought he was going to be able to come in and make a handful of plays. Did not work out that way. Wrong track, too soon to say the track that ended, though.
Too soon, but it's funny. We had a Martin's question of the day not too long ago about when are the Saints going to stop drafting these raw developmental linemen? And here they go and get Foskey, who was, you know, polished, started at, you know, big school, playing in big-time games against big-time opponents, putting up big numbers. And he, you know, translated even more slowly to the NFL than some of the other guys. I don't even compare him to Marcus Davenport and Peyton Turner, who we've seen it in glimpses, but then they get hurt. With Foskey, we haven't seen it yet. That, of course, does not mean that he's not going to pan out, but it was a pretty uninspiring rookie year, unfortunately. It really was. One of those three pressures that you mentioned was an awesome play. It looked like he had a sack fumble in Indianapolis and ended up calling an incomplete pass. He only played 83 total defensive snaps all season long. So, of course, he basically redshirted. He's got the size. Seems like a smart guy. It seems like they talked about playing faster, playing more confident. I don't know, though. I certainly don't act as if I've got one of my top four defensive ends set for the future. So with that spot's filled, I think of him as not a bubble player. He's going to make the team, but whether he's going to be an active top four defensive end, that's on the bubble for me still.
Man, I hope he is. They need it. Number one need on my board, definitely. And we'll be having a close eye on the defensive ends all week at the Senior Bowl. Make sure you are signed up to the site for the coverage of that. We're going to have the ins and outs of what the Saints are doing. Hopefully get some insight on what they're looking at, what they're thinking, where things are going with the OC. If you aren't signed up for the website yet, use the code NOF, save 20% on your first payment. All right, we'll see you next time.